Well, today we begin a new series in the book of Ephesians. So turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. If you start seeing some shins, then you know you're in the right place. Galatians, Corinthians, Ephesians, all those over there, Philippians, it's in there. Okay, it's after Galatians, so, okay. Okay, we're going to read the first six verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your word today, that you would help us to understand the themes and the teachings, the doctrines of the book of Ephesians. Please, Lord, help us today as we study your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, today we start our sermon series through the book of Ephesians. This book was written by the Apostle Paul, and although it was addressed to the Ephesians, it was given a much wider circulation than just those in Ephesus. It was really widely spread throughout Asia Minor. And for good reason, this letter contains a wide berth of subjects that are extremely valuable to the Christian church. These subjects range from the doctrine of our standing with God, our positional standing as a church collectively and as individually with Christ, our life as we are guided by the Holy Spirit, our need to be equipped for spiritual battle, as well as practical advice on how we should treat one another. Now, as we go through this book, there are three themes that I want us to remember as we study the book of Ephesians. And there's three overriding themes that we will see as we study this book. First of all, Christ is the head of the church, and the one our relationship with God and others should be centered. So as we think about all the teachings about how the Lord relates to us, as we think of all the teachings about how we as a union of believers operate as a church, as a body, I want us to remember that the overriding theme of this is that Christ is the center of it all. Christ is the center of it all. And that's what we will see through this book as we go through it. A second thing that we'll see, a theme we'll see, is the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and the believer. Understand that we're going to see how the Holy Spirit works in our lives as individual believers and how he works to put together the body of Christ and help them operate as a single unit. So remember that as we go through this book. And then another overriding theme that I want us to focus on as we do this is the foundation of the church as the body of Christ and how it is to operate in unity with Jesus as its head. So we're going to look at the foundation of the church, which is the body of Christ, and how it operates in unity with Jesus as the head. Okay, so these three themes we're going to keep in mind as we go through the book of Ephesians. Now, I want you to notice verse 3. So with all that said, let's look at this particular passage. I want you to notice verse 3 here. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, this verse sets the stage for an explanation of why and how God blesses us. It just sets the stage for the Apostle Paul to write and expound on how and why God blesses us. Today, we are going to look at why God chose to bless us. Why did God choose to bless us? So let's take a look at this passage and see why God chose to bless us. Now, look at verse 1 again. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." Now look at verse 5. It says, "Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, in these verses, we have an example of a man who God called to himself, the Apostle Paul. We see in verse 1 that Paul makes it very clear that he was called to the position of an apostle by the will of God. He was called and he was drawn by God's will. God chose Paul to follow his guidance and will. So the first thing I want you to understand is this. God chose to bless us because he wanted someone to give his guidance. God chose to bless us because he wanted someone to give his guidance. He's given us all these blessings because he wants to guide us. Why? Because a father wants children that he can guide. A father wants children that he can guide. Think about something for a minute. Why did you want to have children? Or why do you want to have children? Why do you want to have children? They're a mess. You don't want to. They're a mess. Why is it that you want to have children? What, are we crazy? No. No. We want to have children because we want to experience the joy, the pleasure of passing on our knowledge to them and being able to teach and guide them. Think about it for a minute. When I was dreaming about having children, I was thinking about being able to teach them how to play ball, being able to teach them how to bait a hook, being able to teach them how to shoot a gun and have fun hunting and all those things. I thought about the things that I could teach them and how I could guide them. That's why God chose you. One of the reasons God chose you was because he wanted to have a father-son child relationship with you. He chose you because he wanted someone to give guidance to. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. And that is a big blessing, to have the God who knows everything giving us guidance, to the one who holds all wisdom in his mind, freely giving us the wisdom that we need in life. What a wonderful blessing that is. It pleases God to have children he can guide. Now, this is pretty awesome. It actually makes God happy. It makes God happy to have us as his children. Jesus made this adoption possible. Look at the verse in verse 5 again. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So how are we adopted? We're adopted through Jesus Christ. We are adopted through him. It's because of what Jesus Christ did for us. When he died on the cross, when he rose again, that we can become sons and daughters of God. That's what it's about. It's not what we have done or can do or will do. It is because of what Jesus has done that God has chosen to bless us. We often think of choosing as something that happens when you're on the playground and someone's evaluating your skills and your abilities before they choose you for their team. You ever been there? Ever been the last one picked? It's not fun, is it? Well, that's not how Jesus chose you. That's not how God chose you. He didn't choose you because he based his choosing on you because of your skill set. He didn't choose you because of that. He didn't choose you because he thought you might turn out to be a good guy if he worked on you. No, that's not why he chose you. He chose you because of Jesus Christ. That's why he chose you. And our connection to God as sons is through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's how he chose us. He chose us in Jesus because of what Jesus has done. He is the only begotten Son, and all people that come to him as sons come through his only Son, Jesus. Notice, the good pleasure of his will. It makes God happy to give us guidance. Now, this is a concept that is hard for us to grasp. The very concept of God having pleasure. The mighty maker of the universe being pleased like a child at things that take place on earth staggers the imagination. Most amazingly of all is the revelation that it pleased him to put his own son through a terrible, bruising death, as the tremendous messianic prophecy of our text reveals today. Nevertheless, this is... Someone else wrote this, by the way. Nevertheless, this was the only possible way whereby the pleasure of the Lord could be accomplished in the redeemed lives of lost men and women, whom he had created for eternal fellowship with the triune God. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, we're told in Psalms 149. 5 times we read in the New Testament that God the Father spoke from heaven, assuring us that he was well pleased with his beloved Son. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Had it not been so, none of us could ever have been saved. But the Lord Jesus himself has confirmed to his own flock, little flock, that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thus, not only have we been created for thy pleasure, but also we have been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is far beyond our comprehension. So we merely rest in the great truth that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That we know that the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. So there's this wonderful thought that this awesome God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has chosen to bless us. He's chosen to bless those who fear him. And that word fear is the same same connotation as the word we talked about last week in Ecclesiastes. It's not a fear like, ooh, I'm afraid. It's a reverence, a respect towards God, and this hope that we have in his mercy. That's how God chose us. Wow, what a wonderful God we have. He is an awesome, awesome God. Let's praise God for the guidance He gives us as children adopted into the family of Christ. Secondly, I want us to look at verse 4. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, God chose to bless us because He wanted someone to share in His love. God chose to bless us because He wanted someone to share in His love. Now, notice that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Before He created anything, God chose us. Now, this thought has caused the brains of many theologians to ache. It is a hard thought for us to comprehend. Now, two basic answers that men have come up with are in the form of Calvinism and Arminianism. Okay, now Calvinism emphasizes that God chose us without any foresight of our faith a decision to follow Him. Okay? Let me read that again. Calvinism emphasizes that God chose us without any foresight of our faith or decision to follow Him. Okay? That's what Calvinism says. God didn't have any foresight onto what we would do or whether we would accept Him or reject Him. Okay? Arminianism says that God chose us based on His foreknowledge of our decision to follow Christ. Now, neither one of these thoughts can adequately describe how an infinite God relates to finite man. You know, we've come up with our little systems, our man-made systems of theology, and we try and stuff God into those systems. But I've come to a conclusion. I don't think we can really stuff Him in. I don't think we can. And here's why. Here's one example. One question that I came up with that shows what I'm talking about. Here's the question. What did God think of first? That He would choose us or that we would choose Him? What did God think of first? That He would choose us or that we would choose Him? The answer is neither. The answer is neither. Not one, neither one. Before the foundation of the world, there was no such thing as first. There was no such thing as first. Because there was no time. You see, God created time. It is only in the realm of time which God created that we see a sequence of His thoughts towards us. Now, think about that for a minute. So God knew everything at the same time when He created us, when He created everything. So there's no, hey, He chose us first and then He knew that we would trust Him. Or He knew first that we were going to trust Him, so that's why He chose us. There's no such thing. And we can't understand that. I was telling the kids this morning, we were asking some questions to them, and one of them said, how can there be no first? How can there be no first? Because our finite brains can't comprehend an infinite God that thinks and knows everything at the same time. That's amazing, right? That's why the Bible tells us that we can't comprehend all of the mind of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You can't figure it all out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? I don't care how smart you are, how many PhDs you have, how much seminary degrees you have. You're not smart enough to figure this out. Or who has given to him, and it shall be repaid him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Think about that for a minute now. We can't figure it out. So, even in the Bible, we're told about the sovereignty of God. We're told about the free will of man. But the Bible never tries to show us how they work together. Why? Because we're not capable of figuring out, of understanding it. If we were capable of understanding it, God would have told us. But we're not capable. So he didn't tell us. Okay, so I'll just take his word for it. And when he says in Ephesians that he chose us, and when it says in Hebrews that we need to choose him, I'll just take it for God's word. That's how it works, okay? And that's how we should do it. You know, we shouldn't let... Churches have been divided over something they can't understand. You understand that? Churches have been divided over something they can't understand. We can't understand this fully, and yet we'll divide over it. I got a funny story about that. I don't want us to become like the group of theologians who were discussing the tension between predestination and free will. Things became so heated that the group broke up into two opposing factions. But one man, not knowing which to join, stood for a moment trying to decide. At last, he joined the predestination group. "Who sent you here?" they asked. "No one sent me here," he replied. "I came of my own free will." "Free will," they explained. "You can't join us. You belong with the other group." So he followed their orders and went to the other clique. There, someone asked, "When did you decide to join us?" The young man replied, "Well, I didn't really decide. I was sent here." "Sent here?" they shouted. "You can't join us unless you have decided on your own free will." Poor guy was left out in the cold. Amen. You see how crazy it is for us to divide over something like this? We can't understand this. Our minds can't wrap around it. You know, we call ourselves Free Will Baptists because, hey, we believe that God is, that we have the ability to, through him and him drawing us, that we have to make a choice in the matter. That we're not just puppets, you know, that we're not just, we can't resist his grace, okay? One of the things about another Calvinism is, you know, they believe that if God wants you, there's nothing you can do to resist it, okay? You're kind of like a puppet. And, you know, I'm not trying to degrade their view of theology, but I'm just saying why we are Free Will Baptists. But I do know this. God has to draw us, and I don't understand the whole relationship. I don't. I do know that God wants us to choose him, okay? And so we have a choice in the matter. But anyways, with this in mind, I think we should focus on what we know for sure, that God chose us because he wants us to share in his love. That's what we know. We know that for sure. God chose us because he wants us to share in his love. This was made possible because of the blood of Jesus. We have been cleansed from our sins. We have been cleansed from our sins and have a position with God of being holy and without blemish because of what Jesus Christ did for us. When he died on the cross and he sacrificed his life for our sins. That is why we have the blessing of God's love towards us. We are blessed with His love and share in His love because of our position with God, because of what Jesus has done. We are children, holy, without blemish before God because of what Jesus has done. As believers in Christ, our position with God never changes. Why? Because He loves us. He chose us because He wants us to be in a loving relationship with Himself and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He chose us. Let's express our love to the Lord for making us holy before Him. That's what He created us for. That's why He chose us. He chose us so that we would not only be partakers in His love, but we would share that love back to Him by showing Him how much we love Him and appreciate Him for what He's done through His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is very important. We may not understand the total mind of God, but we can know for sure that He chose us because He wanted to love us. That is a wonderful thing to think about, that we have this connection with God through Jesus Christ that is born out of His love for us. Now look at verse 2 again. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. God chose to bless us because He wanted someone to give His grace and peace. Now, grace is God's favor and strength. It says that He is on our side. It is based on His mercy and love toward us. This grace brings peace to us. We have access to this grace and peace because we are in the Beloved, Jesus Christ. We are connected to the grace and peace by our faith in Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus is the hub that connects us to all that God has chosen for us. Look at this passage again. It's so emphatic, okay? Of Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, in whom before the foundation of the world, by Jesus Christ, according, accepted in the Beloved. So there's so many phrases in these just short 6 verses of Scripture that make it so clear that everything is connected to Jesus Christ. Our whole relationship with God is centered on Jesus Christ. And all the blessings that come to us come through Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a lot that we get from Jesus Christ. We get so much from Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. As believers in Christ, our position with God never changes. Why? Because He loves us. He chose us because He wants to be in a loving relationship with us. The question you may be asking yourself is, do I choose Jesus or does He choose me? Do I choose Jesus or does He choose me? The answer is both. The answer is both. We may not fully understand it, but Jesus compels us to trust in Him. So let's trust in Jesus and praise God for choosing to bless us. Let's trust in Jesus and praise God for choosing to bless us, because He is an awesome God. He is an awesome God who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. We're going to find out what those spiritual blessings mean and what they really are in our future studies here through the book of Ephesians. But I want you to understand that God wants your spirit to be fed and blessed, and that we are not just bodies. God has wonderful blessings, and they are spiritual in Christ Jesus.